Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very lightning.
And we're back. Welcome once again, everybody, to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar. We are through the Halloween franchise, and we pivot back towards Academy relevance and walking towards, running towards, sprinting towards the ever prestigious Academy Awards ceremony that's coming up in March. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is a co-host, also Mike.
Also Mike here, feeling very responsible. We're like a week and a half ahead of scheduled previewing you for the month of November.
Could actually build up momentum for these awards, these movies.
A lot of these movies we're going to review in an Oscar Sprint profile, or at least one a week, it looks like. There's November's a loaded month. You know, when we get to them, we'll see, but we're going to touch on these films.
So that's what we're doing right now today. It's your November month in preview, and like we said, we're turning, this is where all the contenders are, well, not all of them, but most of them, I guess, are coming out and have been, some of them have been held back since their film festival debuts.
Right.
Some of them are just making their world debuts.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're going to touch on stuff that we've touched on before, some new stuff that's definitely going to be heard about, again, in the Academy Awards races, all kinds of info and words for you to come up here right now. But don't fret if you're here for the horror. We're not done with you yet. We have a review of Dario Argento's Suspiria coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
We have a review of the Suspiria in total, the new one that's going to be coming out.
Guadagnino film.
Yeah, Guadagnino's one's coming out next week. Hopefully we'll be able to get our hands on that. If not, we'll get it soon after. So we have a nice mix of stuff still going forward for you.
And we want to remind you guys about 6 degrees of MMO. We're going to read that probably by the end of the week, our winners for the challenge number 4. That is Jamie Lee Curtis to Mike Myers, Austin Powers himself there.
Yeah, baby!
Oh, wow, your worst impression of the pot so far. It's kind of so bad, it's funny.
I usually
funny,
go with fat bastard, is that is why. I'm not usually the Austin Powers guy. But yeah, that was terrible.
Sorry.
But yes, we're again, that is just on the heels of the Halloween franchise, the MMO Does Halloween series review that we did. Jamie Lee Curtis to Mike Myers, 6 degrees of MMO, since we can kind of take a breath finally after having to stomach every horror movie in existence. We're not done with horror yet. That's in the pipeline still. We got another week plus of October,
right.
So we're going to be hitting that hard. But for now, we'll start with the November month in preview. Michael, start us off. What do we have the
first movie? It's a banger, Bohemian Rhapsody. Rami Malek is Freddie Mercury. The trailers look and sound terrific on the big screen.
Cheating. It's just cheating with the trailers.
Right.
If you have a montage of Queen clips.
Look, if they just play the hits, this is going to be a phenomenal film.
I totally agree.
Look, this movie is actually getting some serious Oscar buzz for Best Actor. Malek is third right now on award circuit. 16 out of 24 experts on Gold Derby have him up for an Oscar, with 3 predicting a win.
67%. That's a 2/3. That's a lot of
but
people.
But this was a puncher's chance guy. This was going to be a commercial movie, right? And now we have something that's actually going to be a main contender. And a lot of people, most people, or the experts, are putting him in their top 5. So I have 4 questions for you right off the bat here, Michael.
Let's go.
Does the troubled backstory of much maligned director Bryan Singer, who got booted off the project, does that come back to haunt this film? Is there like a backlash that's delayed right now?
So Dexter Fletcher took over the reins. Bryan Singer is the only director credit, and Variety had an article that I read that said the DGA, Directors Guild of America, has in their bylaws that only one person can be listed with the credit as director, unless it's an established team like the Wachowski brothers, the Wachowski siblings. So Fletcher also was on record saying he didn't want the credit. He said it's Singer's film. He just kind of stayed within the box. That's his word. So, look, is it going to hurt the movie? I think when there's a quote-unquote bad guy or an alleged abuser or somebody that's awful.
So on the one hand, he's an alleged abuser. On the other hand, it seems like he was a jerk on set. Like, it seems like it. Just the look
of... Not a great
person, was yelling
and
screaming and berating people on the set. That's why he got ultimately kicked off, or he got sick for a week.
Yeah,
he just wasn't showing up.
The word that in the Variety article
excuses.
Again was saying he had personal issues he wanted to tend to.
I
think when it's behind the scenes like that, audiences are more willing to separate the two.
Right.
Like, if this was Bohemian Rhapsody and Kevin Spacey was playing the band's manager, I think that killed the awards chances.
Yeah, it would kill it.
So I think
Baby Driver killed that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. For the most part, sure. But we did have some Golden Globe noms, but you're right. It wasn't taken very seriously as a contender for anything. So I think the fact that it's the director, as weird as this is, you know, Singer's not going to be nominated for anything for this. But
no.
Is it going to hurt Rami Malek's chances? Probably not, because I think audiences are more willing to separate the two worlds.
And he's kind of on the opposite end of Bryan Singer in that Bryan Singer was like in his face arguing with Malick. It was true. Like Malick versus Singer. I mean, we covered this in a Hollywood Hot Takes last year at this time, right? Or it was maybe it was more towards the spring, a little later. Yeah. You know, like 9 months ago, 10 months ago, we covered this story. It's bizarre how it's just really showing up again now. So
see what the finished product is.
Michael, is this movie going to be a massive hit?
It's weird that nobody's seen it, right? Like, I've seen a couple people on Twitter. Steve Weintraub of Collider, I think he's there, one of the big wigs over there. He saw it a few days ago and said it was very fun. Malick's performance is spot on. He's a Freddie Mercury impersonator, basically.
But we've seen previews of this, right?
Yeah.
And the whole audience is just like...
Right.
But the whole trailer.
It's weird that this is coming out in 2 weeks and nobody's gotten their hands on it, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
It's a little cause alarming. For concern.
A little alarming.
So I don't know what to think of it. I'm excited for it, like you seem to be, but I don't know.
So the questions 3 and 4 essentially is, what kind of movie is this going to turn out to be? Is it a battle of the sexes, martial on the basis of sex, which I'm unfairly grouping without seeing into that other group of biopics, commercial biopics that struggle, you know, and that fizzle out, or that's on and those dialogue, or does this, you know, transcend the genre like a Ray, like a Walk the Line, and become that Oscar contender?
When this was in development a couple years ago, before when people were just signing their names to sign up for it, Sacha Baron Cohen was supposed to play the Freddie Mercury role,
right?
And he actually had a difference of opinion with the band Queen, who saw this picture as not the Freddie Mercury picture, but the Queen band picture.
Really?
And what they do at, like, Freddie Mercury's death was supposed to be the halfway point of the movie, and the band was supposed to play on. I don't know that everyone wants to see that movie necessarily.
True.
So that's what made Sacha Baron Cohen step aside, at least reportedly. It seems like they went back to a Freddie Mercury biopic.
Right.
And if that's the story that we get, that's what we see in the preview. Right. So if that's what we get, I could definitely see it being an award caliber movie. Sure.
Makes sense, because you got the cathartic. Yeah, you have the tragic ending.
It's pretty natural flow. It's actually drama. Yeah.
The other option for this movie is that it becomes like a Ricky and the Flash, where it's like a battle of the sexes, but that has a standout performance like a Meryl Streep.
So honestly, I don't know. I mean, it's all conjecture at this point from us anyway, so I don't know where to fall on it. It's exciting.
I just read what you wrote.
Yes.
All right. So what do you have this in terms of hype?
I'm 4 out of 5 little silhouettos of a man.
That's perfect. I'm like 3 out of 5. I got to get sold that it's going to come
really,
out.
Really? I thought you were a little more.
I enjoy the music of it. Like I might as well just listen to Creed in with headphones.
Creed? You could.
Terrible. Creed. Queen. In my headphones.
Is that
which
the first
I did
time in history? Those two
I honestly did was that last night. They're on my
they're great.
Spotify playlist.
That's why I say the trailers are a cheat code, because they're already ahead of the game. Yes. People love Queen. And
so,
Creed, amazingly
next
enough.
Movie here, we took 14 minutes on the first one, so that's a good sign.
Yeah,
Mike, nobody's fool.
Nobody's fool. Tiffany Haddish, Missy Pyle, Whoopi Goldberg, Tyler Perry wrote and directed comedy. You could have watched this one blindfolded with earplugs in and known that this was a Tyler Perry movie. Woman is released from prison and reunites with her sister. She soon discovers that her sister is in an online relationship with a man who may not be what he seems.
She's getting catfished.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny trailer, but... It was funny, like, the first time I saw it, they kept playing that trailer every time I went to the movies for, like, months on end. So the trailer kind of wore on me. They played it too much.
Yeah, I could see that. Like I said, this one, I didn't know going into this. I didn't read your copy. I didn't know this was a Tyler Perry movie. And then watching this trailer, I was like... I bet you this is a Tyler Perry movie.
Here's my biggest worry about a movie like this, and my biggest problem with the genre, is that you make a likable... buddy character. Like, Tiffany Haddish is not the protagonist of the film, according to the trailer, right?
Right.
But she is 1,000 times more charismatic. But you're going to give the movie to her sister, who's kind of the straight person.
It's kind of one of his trademarks. He does that often, except when he's dealing with Madea properties. But it seems very stereotypically Tyler Perry. It's just based on the dialogue and the establishing shots of the city, the way the characters are portrayed. You have everyone cracking jokes. The prisoner who's just released isn't really a bad person, but they're just a misunderstood outcast.
Right.
You know, that type of thing.
I mean, if Missy Pyle is like Tom Hanks here, then the genre works.
Sure.
If Missy Pyle is like Luke Wilson here, then the genre may not work.
Well, it's also not made for award snobs like us either, right? Like, this, Tyler Perry knows how to make money. He's grossed nearly $1 billion with his 18 films that he's directed, averages $50 million per film, so he's people are going to see this.
It's fine. I just want to see the story get fixed.
Yeah, no, that's
I root
totally
for Tyler Perry, you know, fixing it. Just make Tiffany Haddish the protagonist and you're okay.
And maybe she will be. Maybe we're hiding something here in the trailers.
You know, you have Jada Pinkett Smith, protagonist of Girls Trip, right? Mm-hmm. She's charismatic enough to hold that. Plus, you got her and Queen Latifah. It's more of an ensemble piece.
Right.
It works. This may not work. I don't know. I'm worried. So
yeah, I'm about a 1 out of 5.
Yeah,
myself.
I'm like a 1.5 out of 5 maybe. So The Nutcracker in the Four Realms is the next film here. I am not familiar with the Nutcracker story. I don't think I care. So of all the recent Disney previews of the last 4 years, this is perhaps the movie that I could just like go...
Yeah, this just, it doesn't look great either. I mean, it looks fantastical, but I'm not excited.
I like Helen Mirren. I like Keira Knightley. Do I really want to go anywhere where there's four realms and Nutcrackers?
Were you a Fantasia fan growing up? Or any,
no,
like Alice in Wonderland?
Really. Honestly, yeah. Not. I mean, Alice in Wonderland, I enjoyed.
You did?
I almost enjoyed that as like a teenager reading the book for
a class. That's understandable, sure, yeah.
Because it's kind of trippy and weird.
Anytime Disney goes in these magical lands, they lose me. I've never been a crazy person about it.
And you are not. We are not the demographic for this movie, though.
No, we're not.
Disney
we're not.
Has never said, okay, let's make the Nutcracker. Let's let's reprise the Nutcracker for the IPA drinking 30-something
right.
steak eaters.
Right.
That's a lie. Taco Bell eaters. You know.
They say it's steak. No, you're right. But on that line, it seems Box Office Pro projects this to be $15 to $30 million for its opening weekend. $30 million we've talked about is usually a good marker to indicate you're going to gross $100 million. So yeah. If it does that, that's good. $15 million, you got to think if this opens at $15 million, it's going to be a bit of a disappointment for Disney.
True,
because it seems to be heavily marketed.
They've been having some disappointments lately with global box office right. for Ant-Man and the Winnie the Pooh movie not
sure.
living up. They've been having some trouble. Solo, a Star Wars story. I'm a little scared for Disney.
Yeah,
I'm not scared for Disney overall. I'm just a little worried that there's cracks in
the live action stuff has cracks for sure. I'm 1 out of 4 realms of anticipation.
Yeah, I'm not seeing this. Yeah. I don't give a fuck if it's 100%. Limited releases, Mike.
Bodied is up next. This rap battle movie. Good trailer. Produced by Eminem. Stars Kalen Worthy, Jackie Long, and Rory Uphold. It's carrying a 77 Metascore. 90% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Average critic score is 7.3 out of 10. It's the Audience Award winner at the AFI Film Festival, Austin Film Festival, and People's Choice Award at the Toronto International Film Festival, Midnight Madness. Part comedy, part culturally relevant satire, part look at race relations.
Yes.
The IMDb premise reads as such: a progressive graduate student finds success and sparks outrage when his interest in battle rap as a thesis subject becomes a competitive obsession. Michael.
So watch this trailer, folks, because it's a fun trailer.
It is fun.
It's a white guy at rap battles. It's produced by Eminem, like you said. I've been waiting for this movie to come out for so long after hearing all this film festival buzz. And we finally get a trailer. I was almost expecting this to drop directly to VOD for a long time. Because I'm usually watching those movies. Direct-to-VOD movies, I'll spend the $6
sure.
or $8. And it's fine. And a lot of times, like a Mandy, like you feel good about watching a movie like that. A lot of times, you recognize that it's not going to theaters for a reason.
Yeah, it went to VOD like, for a reason.
You get a good movie, it's just not a commercial hit. Like, I was figuring rap battle movie like this, not going to be a commercial hit, but they have confidence putting this out there.
I'm happy to see that, too. I love 8 Mile. I love Eminem. I think that the whole battle rap, the hip-hop, the underground scene, there isn't really much spotlight on it in Hollywood at all.
Sure.
It's really underrepresented. So you could talk black, white, whatever the cultural significance. It's just not shown. So I think there needs to be more. It's a feeding ground, a fertile ground
yes.
for movie making of all time. So
kind of like
I'm
Roast
excited.
Battle 2, which
yeah.
I've been watching on Comedy Central. I don't know if you've seen that show.
I have seen that, but I also search YouTube for battle raps. I love seeing people freestyle and just rip each other apart just off the top of their head. So I'm all for it. I would be embarrassed in one of those situations.
Look, Patty Cakes had its flaws last year, but last year there was a pretty darn good movie about,
good point. Yeah.
You know, not rap battles necessarily, but a performance genre about hip hop with an unlikely MC. And that movie, I thought, worked.
Oh, that's a good point. I totally
great
forgot about
Bruce
that
Bruce Springsteen use of a song in that movie, too.
About a 5 out of 8 miles of anticipation.
I'm 5 out of 5, too.
Have you caught on with what I'm doing here?
I like it. All right. Like it. Boy Erased. So we worried about this trailer when we previewed this Nicole Kidman, Russell Crowe, Lucas Hedges movie a month or so ago. But the reviews came out positive. After having a lull at the festivals, they've been bumping back up. So they're far from a surefire Oscar numbers, but let's mention them here. 85%, 7 out of 10 critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, 69 Metascore. Lucas Hedges is seemingly getting more buzz for Ben is Back,
yes,
the other film he has coming out with Julia Roberts. Yep. But Feinberg does have him as a possibility for best actor in this film.
Sure.
He's a front runner for Ben is Back, you know, full disclosure for Feinberg. Gold Derby only mentions him in one expert's top five, and award circuit has him, Lucas Hedges, at ninth for best actor for Boy Erased. Now, there's a puncher's chance for Hedges with this performance, I suppose. I wonder if, you know, something happened where Ben is Back, loses momentum, if this would get some more. But it definitely seems like this one's getting sidelined. Everybody's voting for Hedges for Ben is Back.
So two trains of thoughts. One, I'm a very large proponent that the diversification of the Academy and the widening of it and the more inclusive it's gotten in the last couple of years, that effort it's made to do so is only going to result in there being more cannibalism within the same property. Right. So I don't think Lucas Hedges is going to get noticed for both roles. I think people are going to pick one and say that's the Lucas Hedges nomination piece, yeah, stuff like that. Also, that could apply to the chances of ensemble roles such as The Favorite in different categories, etc., etc. Two, I feel like this is like the downside of waiting for your national debut on Oscar season, because to me the momentum for this has died. This was one of those movies that had a lot of momentum. I know the numbers weren't great when it first started out, but we are at least talking, oh, Hedges could be a best actor possible. Sure. Maybe Russell Crowe, maybe Nicole Kidman. She's always reliable. Maybe she puts her name in the supporting action. And now all of that has kind of ceased because we've had months to play it down, and now it's coming out.
Everybody's behind Nicole Kidman for The Destroyer.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Everybody's behind Lucas Hedges for Ben is Back. And yeah, I think that's contributing to it. And we had the Miseducation of Cameron Post earlier in the year. Is there fatigue on the same storyline? Is it the same storyline? We got to see him. I wonder if it missed its window or if it's getting some bad luck here.
It could be a combination. But my anticipation personally for it has definitely waned due to that. I'm like a 1 out of 5 right now for it.
Yeah, I'm still 3 out of 5. I'm probably going to see this movie if those reviews hold. So, okay. Mike, one, you going to take these next three real quick?
We got In Search of Greatness. It's a documentary about great athletes like Serena Williams, Wayne Gretzky, and Pele. They drive to success. We can relate to that. No reviews yet. We would like to watch these sports docs, though. We're big fans, right?
Yeah, I watch these even if they suck.
Yeah,
get
same.
Bad reviews.
For most of them, yeah, we're suckers. Maria by Callas is a documentary about the legendary Greek opera singer. 92% on Rotten
Tomatoes.
Yeah,
I watch
right
these
now.
Movies even if they suck. No, I don't know.
That Old Testament, yeah. That old song and dance of those opera singing documentaries.
The Greek opera singers.
High scores, though. 7.2 out of 10 average credit score right now. That's very high.
Yeah, maybe.
Private War, we've talked about this a couple times. The biopic, here's the IMDb synopsis. One of the most celebrated war correspondents of our time, Marie Colvin, is an utterly fearless and rebellious spirit, driven to the front line of conflicts across the globe to give voice to the voiceless. It stars Rosamund Pike, who I'm still terrified of, from Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Getting some fringe Oscar buzz. Feinberg has her in the possibilities category for best actress. Award circuit has her down at 37th right now. Probably not going to make it if I had to guess. 86% Rotten Tomato score, 5.5 out of 10 average critic score. Middling. 68 Metascore, okay, still middling.
Sure, it's an intense trailer. Looks like an important movie, especially when the press around the world are being maligned by various people. This performance,
you want to put various in quotes, or
this performance seems to be a over the top one. I would say she's like really out going for it.
Well, this, you know, is her. Yeah, this is
she's
her.
She's getting battered. It's almost like an action movie
profile piece.
Too.
Yeah, I think this is made for her for Oscar Beatty chances. This was kind of her piece. I think it's only a matter of time before Rosamund Pike does have her day. She should have had it already, according to me.
It's kind of crazy. Like, you got a high-profile piece like this about a true story where she's really going off, and it's ranked 40th.
Right.
You know, 37th or whatever we say. Right. Instead of top 10 or top 15. It just goes to show you that the best actress category is particularly loaded this year.
Sure is.
So Rampant is a South Korean horror action film.
Hell yeah!
With no reviews as of yet.
I'll give you a review.
Big production values that I can see. I'm kind of interested.
Demon, zombie adjacent things, samurai fights, production values out the wazoo. I'm in.
South Korea, they've been doing a lot of kind of indie films up till now, right? With a lot of these auteurs that are becoming great filmmakers that come over to Hollywood eventually. But here you have, this is a big budget production for a Korean South
for
Korean
South
film,
Korea, yeah, in South Korea as well, yeah. And you said you're always partial to their filmmaking.
I like South Korean films. I really do. I want to talk about one later. Searching for Ingmar Bergman is yet another documentary about a legendary filmmaker coming out in this particular week. 100%, 6.8 out of 10 critic score.
It's pretty much the exact opposite of everything I just cheered about for Rampant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Slow existential crisis winter
deep
light
in thought, right? Yeah,
I love Ingmar Bergman films.
Now, if she puts a sword through a zombie's neck in this documentary,
there's like 27 Ingmar Bergman documentaries, aren't there? I don't want to poo-poo this movie because I'll probably see it. I like it.
6.8 out of 10 is pretty high for critic scores. 100%.
Everybody likes it,
right?
Ingmar Bergman's a fascinating study. So I just have a note here that Beautiful Boy's expanding, but yep, moving on.
That'll
to 11.
Be coming out to an Oscar Sprint profile soon for us.
Yeah, so probably that end of that first week, we'll get it expanded and we'll see it and we'll review it. Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, best animated feature contender, has Benedict Cumberbatch, Rashida Jones, and Angela Lansbury as voice actors for this.
Angela
major.
Lansbury, still getting it done.
Yeah, major wide release here. Angela Lansbury, she's in something else. She's in Mary Poppins Returns.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It's very.
She's not dancing on a table, which I'm a little disappointed. Dick Van Dyke is showing
her
up.
I want a documentary investigation as to whether that's actually him dancing on that table like that.
I don't know.
I know he's always been an athlete, but come on.
I think it's him. This trailer seems well animated, like really well. If I can be redundantly.
There's gotta be a twinge of disappointment for people, though, doesn't there? Hearing there's a new Grinch movie coming out and realizing it's a cartoon, because I know that live action Jim Carrey one is so beloved by so many people.
They're making this Grinch movie again and again and again, right? I mean, the other one became a cult classic on video, the cartoon. Everybody loved it. Played on TV for years. Then they remade the Jim Carrey. Like, why do we need to make this again? Is this going to be the Grinch cinematic universe? The Suits cinematic universe, maybe.
For animated, though?
Because they missed their window on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting point. I don't know. I don't. I mean,
it's
going
to make $400 million.
Of course. That's the other side of it, is that this thing's going to print money. The trailer's fun. I have faith in it being a thing. Four out of five Cindy Lou Who's for me.
All right. I have another conspiracy theory, though. Since the Oscars are basically being run by Disney, is this going to be kind of bumped out for an anime movie?
Without question.
Lose to Incredibles 2?
Without question.
Or would this contend with.
I think any non-Disney movie that makes the cut for that animated feature category is just getting name recognition.
Here's the thing. Like, Disney doesn't have the prestigious animated film this year. Like, Wreck-It Ralph is a crowd pleaser. Incredibles 2 is a crowd pleaser. They don't have Coco, which is
no,
the tearjerker. They don't have Up or WALL-E, which is the transcendent film. They don't have that movie that you know, the Academy can say is, oh my God, this should be a best picture.
Yeah, but
what
they do have is a contract for which the award show is being shown on their network.
And they don't tell us the vote.
So
anything can happen here. All right. We will never get hired by anybody important. Mike, the girl in the spider's web.
Yeah, it's a new dragon tattoo story. Okay, the girl in the spider's web, a new dragon tattoo story. It's a long title.
Longest title ever.
Directed by Fede Alvarez, who I'm a big fan of. He did the Evil Dead remake and Don't Breathe, two great horror movies. Starring Claire Foy as Elizabeth Salander, Lakeith Stanfield, Phantom Thread's Vicky Creeps, Stephen Merchant, and Blade Runner 2049 Sylvia Hoax.
We love this cast.
Right? Loaded cast. A lot of big names that we've talked about and gushed over previously.
Our recent favorites. I love Phantom Thread. We love Lakeith Stanfield. Sorry to bother you. Stephen Merchant showed up in Logan, right, last year?
Yes, he did.
We liked him in that. And then Sylvia Hoax was scary in Blade Runner 2049.
All hits for us and MMO approved for sure.
Claire Foy's okay, too. Yeah.
She's only
first man.
We yell about her.
We wanted to win.
Love the trailer. Title's way too long. Is that going to turn people off? Will the trailer turn people off? Will it being a new Lisbeth Salander turning people off? Does Claire Foy not have yet the name recognition we want her to?
Yeah, I'm a little weirded out by this whole production story. Number one, I don't remember all those moments in the trailer from the book. I don't remember the book that well. I don't like the book, number one. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is they like feel like it didn't have brand recognition, so they had to subtitle or an already long title with a new dragon tattoo story.
Right.
I mean, this is the longest title since The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, and this is the Harry Potter kid who's also still a wizard. Yeah.
The Crimes of Grindelwald, Part 2.
Right.
The Crimes of Boogaloo.
Yeah.
What a fun,
I'm not crazy. Like I said, I'm a big fan of Freddie Alvarez, and I love Claire Foy. I've never seen the first movie with the Daniel Craig version. I've never read the books. As an Archangel of Vengeance in the trailer, Claire Foy is great. Claire Foy is great in everything. She's one of my favorites. I want her to get more work, but I can't get there with this one. And anytime you bring in that backstory of, oh, it was my sister, my long-lost sister, who you didn't know existed until now, I kind of get a little worried. So I'm like 2 out of 5 crowns of anticipation.
I just feel like they're trying to string out the story in the books. Like, they had a story, or, you know, that they took from Stieg Larsson, and they're like, all right, let's make it 10-novel arc.
Yeah.
And just make me buy $20 audiobooks or $15 audiobooks.
Is it working?
Every 6 Yeah, I bought the both of them by the new writer, Lagercrantz. And he does a fine job. It's just these books go slow, and it's not memorable.
Right.
Like, the first trilogy is so memorable. Like, the third one was a courtroom drama. The second one was the freaking Terminator 2. I loved it. There's a guy's chasing her the whole story. And then the first one's insane. It's insane. It was a unique story. It's gross.
So what's the difference
between... It's a vigilante story that's crazy, but it's also a serial killer movie. It's crazy.
So the backstory is they punted on that original trilogy, and now they're rewriting it? Is that what you're saying?
They're not touching the original trilogy.
Oh, these are all just adaptations.
Stieg Larsson had an idea for more books, but unfortunately he died at like 50 years old or late 40s. And David Lagercrantz, is a very good novelist, but he basically took the story over. But it's like this whole arc with the sister, I guess, is the first two. Now I don't remember. Gotcha. I can't even remember these audiobooks. They're non-memorable.
Yeah, it's not a good start.
Not a good start. But Claire Foy's in it.
Yeah.
Lakeith Stanfield's in it.
Hopeful.
Vicky Krieps. Love her.
You also love saying that name.
I like Vicky Krieps. I like crepes. I'm like a 2.5 out of 5 for The Girl in the Spider's Web, the longest title ever. Overlord, Michael, 93%, 7.5 out of 10 critic score, 63 Metascore. I'm a little worried about.
Fuck you, J.J. Abrams.
Bad Robot's in charge of this. The premise is misleading. It says the story of two American soldiers behind enemy lines on D-Day.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
We see the trailer, and it's very obviously a zombie movie about a secret Nazi laboratory.
The first time I saw this trailer, I was like, oh, they made Castle Wolfenstein the movie, because that's a very famous video game where you go in and you have to fight, like, werewolf Nazi zombies.
What is a video game?
Exactly. So,
okay.
I thought, sure, that's what this was, but it's not. It's a totally different property, so okay.
Wolfenstein?
That's what it's called. The Return of Castle Wolfenstein and Escape from Castle
Wolfenstein. If it is Captain Wolfenstein, would that be good or bad for you?
I don't have a lot of experience with the game, so it would be pretty much the exact same as Overlord is now.
I mean, I wonder if they're missing their window because it's coming out after Halloween here, Michael.
They've done a good job sustaining some momentum. There's still, nobody knows what exactly is going on, like you just said,
but this
and they're not leaking much.
A pleasant surprise at all the film festivals.
Reviews are great.
People walked away saying, wow, this is actually really fun. Midnight Madness at TIFF. I mean, people really liked it.
Maybe they didn't want to step on the toes of the Halloween release, and they were doing a favor to David Gordon Green and Universal. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's coming out after Halloween. It is a bit weird. 7.3 average critic score. That's high. 93%. Like you said, that's very high. J.J. Abrams always full of surprises and pulling off supernatural and horror-based goodies. So I'm a 3 out of 5 polar pairs of anticipation. I don't know.
That looks good. I'm kind of in. Yeah. A 3.5. Yeah. I'm somewhere in there. I'm probably going to see it. Limited releases, Michael.
We are talking about Angel, whatever, El Angel, 87%, average score is 7 out of 10, 63 Metascore, favorably reviewed indie movie from the festivals. Here's the premise: Buenos Aires in 1971, Carlitos is a 17-year-old youth. As a young boy, he coveted other people's things, but it wasn't until his early adolescence that his true calling to be a thief manifested itself. When he meets Ramon at his new school, Carlitos is immediately drawn to him. Together, they will embark on a journey of discoveries, love, and crime.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of this one because there's all kinds of... There's like a Bonnie and Clyde thing, but small time, and it's a coming of age, but he's becoming a thief. A lot going on, but favorable reviews.
It's Moonlight, the Buenos Aires Thief Edition. That's what it reads as.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious.
Sure, I don't know much about it outside of what we just read, so I'm anxious to see what it is.
I remember at the film festival, people really liked this, so...
Cool. All right, give it a chance, see what happens.
Postcards from London has no reviews yet, but here's the premise. A stylish, sexy film about a young man's journey into an unusual form of escort work set in an imaginary vision of London Soho.
Also was going to be titled The Life and Times of Mike One.
Okay, moving on. River Runs Red is a crime thriller with Taye Diggs, John Cusack, and George Lopez. No reviews yet. Who the hell knows?
What is this cast? What is this cast?
Wait a minute. You have way too much stuff written down here.
It's this cast blew my mind. It's a thriller. It has a 7.5 IMDb score on 10 reviews. Huh. 10. How does a score of 10 reviews... Have 10 people actually seen this movie?
I guess so.
Or, like, if it was 10 people, wouldn't they be attached to the movie? And if that's the case, wouldn't it be a higher score than a 7.5? Yeah.
Maybe, like, 5 people have seen the movie, and they gave it a 50, and then the other five people have no idea
what's going on. And George Lopez is kicking ass in this trailer. Very confusing things. Very meta
Doing a late night show like a year ago?
Yes! He's had a sitcom. He's had a talk show. I don't know why George Lopez is kicking someone's ass, and Taye Diggs wants him to be like a vigilante with him.
I like Taye Diggs this year.
I do too.
Set it up. I thought he did a nice job. This looks a little weird. We'll see. Cusack has been in a funk. Your hair go gray.
Never been crazy about him.
Be an old guy, will you? You got to keep the jet black hair. He's like, he's having the Nick Cage just valley.
Yeah.
It's just a valley. I love the Coos. I'm sad to see him performing this way with a lot of these thrillers, these strange movies.
He's been in good stuff, but you're right. It's been
rough lately. Said fuck it back when 2012 was like coming out and going for and box
the world
office
didn't
goods.
End
2009.
It's like I tried my predicting hand, it didn't work out.
I shouldn't say that. I'm looking at his filmography here. Hot Tub Time Machine came out after that. Mm-hmm. Lee Daniels the Butler going for an Oscar. Maps to the Stars, Indie Gold, Love and Mercy going for an Oscar. I just haven't seen his stuff. So Chirac, he was fine in there. Hot Tub Time Machine 2, but he's struggling. It's just grasping it.
Yeah.
Not
a guy that I've ever been in love with.
I like
can
the
be
Coos.
Good. The Front Runner comes out.
That would be a problem.
Wide release. November 7th. Update on the Jason Reitman-directed film about American Senator Gary Hart's presidential campaign in 1988. It's derailed when he's caught in a scandalous love affair. My, how those were simpler times.
Last we checked in, MMOers, this was low ratings after the film festivals.
Yeah, and they've come up a little bit. Still not great. Hugh Jackman, Vera Farmiga, J.K. Simmons, 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. Average critic score of 6.6 out of 10, 67 Metascore. Feinberg has Jackman as a front runner still for Best Actor. Farmiga is a major threat in supporting, and Reitman as a possibility for director. Gold Derby has Jackman 3 out of 24 listed in the top 5 for Best Actor right now. Award Circuit has him down at 12th.
So Feinberg is higher on this than the rest of the punditry at the moment, which should make the rest of the punditry sweat.
Yeah, I agree.
The reviews have stabilized a bit. We remember them being in the 50s after the film festival. They're very, very mixed. They've come up into the 60s, almost 70s now, so that's a little promising. Still worried when it's in the 60s, Beautiful Boy, and it's giving us the same worry. Does this get a bump up like Boy Erased? We're doing this preview early.
It's actually what it reminds me of, what I have written down here, but it's kind of like the Boy Erased territory in that the momentum for this one kind of stalled. They held it back, but this is the other side. They held it back because the scores were so down.
Just talking about the Boy Erased numbers, those were in the 60s and 50s,
that's what
right?
I mean. Maybe they're holding
the up to
maybe
the
they held
now.
Out the release, not only for Election Day, but also to kind of get momentum back in store for it, so it's not just going to drive off a cliff like its poster has the campaign bus doing.
True. We like these movies even when they're bad, though.
Yeah, but it's going to be hurt by Vice, isn't it? Vice is a very similar retelling of a historic event that everyone's very excited for. We love Reitman. We like Jackman. We love Farmiga. A lot to be excited
Plus,
for. But...
are we just soured on this because we don't like Democrats fucking it all up?
Is that too late for that, I think.
Yeah.
2.5 out of 5 Adamantium Claws of Excitement for
just
me.
Just kind of trying to call out our own bias a little bit once in a while.
Limited releases that week. Narcissister Organ Player. Say Narcissister 10 times fast.
Or spell it one time correctly. That was the hardest thing. I tried to search this on IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes. I couldn't do it.
This was my nickname back in high school, Organ Player. I wish I could say it was for vastly different reasons.
Well...
5.9 out of 10 average critic score. 5.9 out of 10, I'm sorry, an IMDb score. Documentary about sexual fetishes.
You said nickname.
Yeah, there we are.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to see this. Fuck it.
November 9th. Burning. Potential best foreign film nominee.
It's
a big
this.
One. For another one from South Korea starring Walking Dead's Steven Yeun. He plays Glenn. We reviewed the trailer a while ago. Very excited for this one, right?
Love South Korean murder mysteries, even if it didn't have Steven Yeun in it. I'm in. I gotta see this. This is a great trailer. What's the deal with this guy? Yeah. Why does she like him? Who is he? So is he a boyfriend? Is he an older brother of somebody, of her friend? What hold does he have on her? And why is the other guy so obsessed with him too?
And Chang Dong Lee only makes critically successful movies. Yes. I think this is his sixth ever. Aside from the first movie he made back in 97, which is unscored, he's never been below an 80% critical score for any of his directorial efforts. So now, I'm excited, though.
He's made some slower films. That I'm a little worried that he's doing a
thriller. This one's 2.5 hours, okay, the runtime. So
yeah, I don't necessarily know if this is going to be like a psychological thriller that's hard-hitting and fast. My guess, if Secret Sunshine, I think that's the other film he's done that I've seen. If that's any indication, this is going to be a slow, prodding drama, and it's going to try...
2.5 hour runtime is a doozy.
It's going to flip your brain, yeah. 11/16 wide releases, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald!
Is this our main event?
We've given this movie a hard time up until now.
Yes.
And yet, we've been seeing this trailer in the movies, arm in arm, munching on popcorn.
Yeah.
This title is a bit silly and a mismatch with the dark and ominous tone of the trailer. However, the visuals might be stunning on the big screens.
Total. They look it so far. I think we saw another preview for this that played before First Man on the IMAX screen, if I'm remembering right. And it was stunning.
I just don't like that it has the same tone of First Man, or it's the same tone of Beasts of No Nation, yeah. And yet there's like just Giggly-Doo is the name of a character in it, and then there's like an Oscar-nominated thespian, just like, kill Giggly-Doo! We must thwart Giggly-Doo! What the hell's going on there, Mike?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Would you feel differently if his name was Shep McDougal?
I would feel better if his name was, like, Stark or Lannister.
I think Stark and Lannister, they might be on some toes there. Those might be Lannister. The effects look wonderful. I'm with you. I'm kind of excited to see a bad guy, Johnny Depp. I always like when he goes a little darker.
I've been waiting for a good movie from Johnny Depp in a while.
Yeah, you and a lot of people. It's not going to matter what we think, though, ultimately, because whether we like it or not, this is going to kill the box office. First Fantastic Beasts movie in 2016 was a $74 million opening weekend. It made $800 million worldwide. All of that still had it as the lowest grossing J.K. Rowling Harry Potter film ever. So the low bench point is an $800 million box office. So these are just going to explode. This one's going to be huge. I'm excited for it. I'm still not crazy about it. 2 out of 5 Chambers of Secrets.
I think I might see it now, though. You know,
yeah.
I might see
got
it.
Got you enough interest?
Yeah, like 2.5 Prisoners of Isaac Man. I'm in.
All right. Instant Family is up next, starring Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne, their new foster parents, directed by Sean Anders of Sex Drive, That's My Boy, Daddy's Home, and the epic Oscar snub Daddy's Home 2. Have you ever seen Daddy's Home 2?
No, of course not. Look, Mel Gibson is a daddy of the daddy in the last film, and then there's the two other happy daddies, Will Ferrell and John Lithgow, and the jokes are all shit. No, I don't know. I made fun of Sean Anders here, and I shouldn't, because we like Sex Drive. We laughed at That's My Boy.
I love That's My Boy.
I've never seen Daddy's Home or Daddy's Home 2, but I like the other guys for a few yucks.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg.
I think the other guys is hysterical.
It's funny,
Aim
right?
for the bushes is something I say about once a week.
So here was me just punching, like, for no reason.
Yeah,
just willy-nilly. Just I don't know why. Just because elite. I could get mad at premise about Daddy's Home 2.
This doesn't look on the scale of those, though. And this looks like it has more heart to it as well. It doesn't look like it's going for
the trailer made me laugh. Yeah, they just straight up get arrested. Usually that's a note in a trailer that everybody's like, that's so crazy. But no, they're arrested immediately after something they do in the trailer. That's funny.
I like Rose Byrne's God Help Me. I'm always charmed by Marky Mark. I can't get away from him.
Sean, I'm sorry. I think I might be more in for this movie than I...
2 out of 5 goats.
Yeah, I'm going to say 2.75.
How you doing, goat?
Yeah.
Big one next. Widows. Big one.
Huge.
Likely nominated films, we're talking about them. This is hopefully going to be one of those. We're rooting for this one collectively. The reviews have jumped up. It is up to a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, 8.6 out of 10 average critic score, and 88 Metascore. That's actually sharply contrasted right now with what it's doing on IMDb. We'll talk about that. Directed by Steve McQueen from Shame and 12 Years a Slave. Written by Gone Girl and Sharp Objects novelist turned screenwriter Gillian Flynn. Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, Elizabeth Debicki, Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell. Seriously buzzed about performances from Brian Tyree Henry and Daniel Kaluuya. We've talked about both of those before. Michael, how excited are you?
I'm so excited that I feel like I'm overexcited and now I'm worried.
You should be, probably.
I have psychological issues.
Yeah, we both do.
Look, I predicted this might be one of my favorite movies based on early Oscar predictions last year.
Right.
I kind of isolated this one. I was like, this was right up my alley. I want to see a crime drama led by Viola Davis, or a crime thriller led by Viola Davis with Daniel Kaluuya as the bad guy with this stellar cast and have an Oscar, you know, surefire Oscar director going
it's
commercial.
Dripping with talent. Everywhere, from the screenwriting to the directing to the on-screen.
Gillian Flynn, everything she's Aces. Written has been fun.
Now, it's not her novel. This isn't based off her novel.
No,
it's based
she's
off
turned
another,
into
but she is, yeah,
prolific
a prolific
screenwriter right now.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Correct.
Wow.
I need this movie to perform.
That's
well.
Like a 1997 commercial.
Just get me a Coke, man.
You're right? Am I crazy, people? The dude, without blinking, referenced a 1998 March of 2004 commercial on me. Just now. Just get me a Coke.
Anyway,
it's caffeinated.
I need this to perform.
Or it's
well.
Filled with ginkgo biloba. Your iced coffee.
I need this to be both financially and an award success because I want nothing more than to take every critic and snob and everyone I've seen that says this just isn't an
personal.
Oscar. Oh, it is. Why isn't this an Oscars movie? You have an Oscar. Was she nominated? I don't know if she was nominated for adapted screenplay in Gillian Flynn for Gone Girl.
Should have been.
If she wasn't, she should have been. Oscar, I think he won director in Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave. Viola Davis can win any award any given year. What am I missing about this, that this isn't an Oscar? Because there's women in it who perform a thievery, who are robbing a bank or something? That's why it's not an Oscar contender? Give me a fucking break. Where are we? Why are we widening the Academy if we can't bring in new perspectives to say, hey, maybe it's time we consider action and crime thrillers as Oscar movies?
Mike, what if the movie sucks, though?
Well, then I'll have to shut up. I will. And that's why I need it to do well. I put a lot of reputation on this.
Because I'm not just worried because I'm too excited. That was an overstatement. I'm a little skeptical that a bunch of civilians could just execute a heist that killed, we all know from the trailer, that killed Liam Neeson's in the previous scene.
And Robert Duvall, looks
and
like.
And Robert Duvall's or whoever. That you know, all those gangbangers with big, humongous guns shooting at, not cops, but other gangs, I guess.
I'm not going to say there's not enough to be worried about. 7.1 IMDb score. I hinted at that already. It's only 600 votes, but still, 7.1 is very different than an 88 Metascore and what it's doing on Rotten Tomatoes. Gillian Flynn was nominated for a Golden Globe, yeah, was not nominated for an Oscar. Steve McQueen did win an Oscar for 12 Years a Slave, so that just...
I'm overthinking it. You got Viola Davis, Michelle
But he
Rodriguez.
Did not win the Best Director Oscar. Let me just say that. He was
you got
in it as the picture.
Daniel Kaluuya, Liam Neeson, Colin Farrell. You got Steve McQueen. You got Gillian and Flynn. Shouldn't be worried. We're gonna be in for a good film.
At worst, right?
We're going to a good movie.
Exactly. So here's the hope, and here's the hope, and it's more than just a good movie.
So At Eternity's Gate, coming
speaking
out,
of movies that we should be worried about.
Limited release. Willem Dafoe is a Best Actor candidate for his performance as Vincent Van Gogh here. Fake name alert, director Julian Schnabel is behind the camera. The cinematography looks very Diving Bell and the Butterfly like and Oscar-y on that in that regard. The dialogue seems like soap opera-ish from the trailers. We are very worried about this one.
So when we sat down today before we hit record, I asked you point blank, would you be shocked to see Willem Dafoe go from shoo-in nominee, probable winner of Best Actor this year, to not even nominated come Oscars time?
It happened last year with the Florida Project in the sense that he went from surefire
yep,
winner
absolutely.
All the way. I mean, when we started the podcast,
yep.
he was winning the Best Supporting
right.
Actor. And then Sam Rockwell buzz started. I mean, maybe people thought he was going to be a best actor candidate, not best supporting actor candidate. So he got bumped down to the other category, and all of a sudden he's winning everything, and Dafoe is not being talked about. So Dafoe, I think, is a sentimental favorite for people in the sense that let's get this guy an Oscar.
The uncrowned king,
he's
like
so
we keep talking about.
So good in so many
right.
things. So when he comes out in a trailer looking that haggard, without an ear, with it stuttering and really going having a performance
tight
that's
close
nuanced.
Ups, heavy breathing.
Oh,
yeah.
Looks great. And then he whispers dialogue that's just kind of in your face.
Punching
so
you on the nose,
I don't
yeah.
know if that's going to work. I'm a little worried, like I said.
The scores are respectable enough to carry a best actor. It's got a 72 Metascore. That's a best actor-ish score. Darkest Hour last year was a 75. Revenant 3 years ago for Leo was a 76. Theory of Everything for Eddie Redmayne was a 72. The only exception was Casey Affleck's Manchester by the Sea, which was right. considered a lock by some to win Best Picture. It was carried a 98, so... We'll see. I'm worried. I'm legitimately worried. You said it. We're both worried. That's very, very true.
Your expectations here, Mike?
Only 6 out of 25 Gold Derby experts have him in their top 5 right now, and only one number 1 for Dafoe.
That's not as high as it should be.
4 out of 5 years of curiosity just to see what's going on with this.
I'm like 3 out of 5 Starry Nights.
I'm going to spit out my coffee. All right. That was good. Jonathan.
It's all improv. You wrote it down. I'm trying to step up my game.
80% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a sci-fi tinged drama. Your boy Ansel Elgort plays two.
How about that for a premise? Tinged. Sci-fi tinged.
It's got a hue of sci-fi. Your boy Ansel Elgort playing both roles of two brothers living very separate lives inside one body. So it's basically the Pixar Inside Out movie. Is that what we're... No, it's not that. Previously content to live life in the shifts of one another, their delicate balance is ruined when they become emotionally involved with the same woman played by Sookie Waterhouse.
We probably should have watched a trailer for this because this premise makes no effing sense whatsoever.
It does if you say the guy's bipolar. Sure, it makes tons of sense.
He's bipolar? Is that what it's saying?
Well, if you think about it like that, I think it makes a lot of sense. Two different identities living in the same body.
It's like a split.
Right.
Okay, I should have read that before recording.
Should have read
through what I copied and pasted.
The Last Race is next.
It's a crazy looking doc about stock car racing. Waiting for reviews on it. It looks like some crazy clips in a trailer here.
Yeah, anything to do with sport, we're suckers for, like we said. We'll so see. Sure.
The World Before Your Feet, Michael, is a documentary about a man who's trying to walk every single block of New York City. This currently has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why wasn't this titled Watch Me Get Mugged?
How many times can a man get mugged? Right. That's a funny, dark joke.
It's a terrible joke, but it's also... New York's cleaned up a lot. In the last 30 years, cleaned up a lot. Like anywhere else, though, things happen.
I got lost a bunch in New York, so I probably did, you know... 3/5
You've
of
done this already. You've done this movie already. Very
Mike, 11/21 wide
release. Talking about Creed 2. It's a big theatrical release. A big crowd, please. They're going to make a huge box office. Michael B. Jordan is back. Tessa Thompson is back. Apollo Creed's son is facing off with the son of Ivan Drago in the ultimate grudge match from the wet dream of every family therapist. Also, Mike, you love these trailers. I'm a bit more skeptical myself. Why should I be more hyped up for this?
Because Rocky's in the corner saying, hey, yo. You have all the training montages, and you're a sucker for training
montages. I am. That's true.
You love those.
I am.
You watch them on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Creed and Drago, they're crazy. Do you see what Drago's doing? He's like jumping. He's like doing a push-up, and the next thing you know, he's 6 feet in the air after his push-up.
So,
how does that happen?
But he's not going to have any speaking lines. Right? This guy playing Drago's son has been
he
in exactly
look like
one
a
movie.
Badass.
Okay, but still,
you just have to
Dolph Lundgren was intimidating because
he's just
got
to work out. He's going to work out on camera.
Really? Listen, I'm excited. They've done a great job marketing this because of the montages, because of the clips. You're right.
I love the enormous production values on display, especially those in the actual arena. It's almost like they filled up an entire...
It looks great. It really does look great.
...stadium and then did all the laser light shows.
And
that's
I usually hate boxing movies.
Right. So they're really going for spectacle, which I love. I really enjoyed Creed 1 as a movie. I love the stakes of it. I watched the Rocky movies most days of my life when I was a kid and probably
speak like him every day. Yes. Listen, I need to set the record straight. I did not dislike Creed 1.
No, you just didn't love it.
I just was like, oh, it's Rocky.
Yeah.
It was Rocky 1 retold and updated for a new generation.
I was kind of like that about The Force Awakens because I was upset that it was... I mean, I liked it. I really liked the beginning, and then I was like, nah. you know, right. remake of Star Wars.
When you see something and it hits you like that, it's just what it is.
Everything's telegraphed. Right. That's going to happen. And yeah, I'm kind of, I could see, I've come around to empathizing with my fellow man, and my fellow man is you in this instance.
I'm 3 out of 5 Thunderlips of anticipation.
I'm 5 out of 5. I'm
I know you are. Green Book is next. Another big time Oscar contender here. Best Picture, Best Actor Viggo Mortensen, and Supporting Actor Mahershala Ali, all listed as front runners on Feinberg Forecast, Gold Derby, and Awards Circuit. So it's a triumvirate of success here. The studio loved this movie so much, they bump what I thought had a chance to win Best Picture and is now barely even spoken about. Welcome Tomorrow went down, giving this film a more of a prestigious Best Picture-friendly release date. On Thanksgiving, in fact, we're in for a major contender here by all accounts, aren't we?
Yeah, it's not only a contender for a bunch of nominations. This is going to be a contender to win Oscars. So it's almost given that it's going to be nominated, it seems. You know, this won major film festival award, like that gross People's Choice.
Upsetting A Star Is Born, yeah.
Yeah, and Viggo's transformed in this role. He's been knocking on the Academy door for a while, like a Willem Dafoe. Uh-huh. So, I mean, he's someone that people want to give an Oscar to, right? They want this to be a Viggo Mortensen year coming up.
I wonder if it's going to do enough to get Peter Farrelly talked about, too. I haven't heard his name mentioned much. This seems to be more a performance-driven piece, 8.0 early IMDb score. It's over 2 hours. It's going to be there at the end of the day, like you said. People are already saying that supporting actor is a two-man race.
It's either
Ali or Chalamet for Beautiful Boy.
Proven Oscar winner. I mean, he could...
If he goes go two for two it. In his last film.
Look
films.
At Beautiful Boy warning signs. 60s, right? Yep. Numbers are in the 60s.
It's not caring like this one
the
is.
The movie's tough to take. It has tonal problems. It might be on the nose in some scenes. We're going to have to see it and
be the credit
judge,
to us, too, because having not seen Green Book, and we just saw the trailer and reviewed it for the first time over the summer, we were like, why isn't this an Oscars picture? Then the momentum started from there. So it definitely...
We started it. We've done it.
What we're saying is you're welcome, yes. Mahershala Ali. Correct. And Peter Farrelly. Yeah, no, it's just... It really did pick up momentum from the early summer. As soon as people got their hands on it, as soon as this became known in the lexicon, people were excited for it, and we are still.
We're very excited. It's a fun trailer. Ralph Breaks the Internet is likely getting major box office during the Thanksgiving break here.
I think this is going to be the Oscar winner.
It's likely getting a Best Animated Feature nominee. And Mike, you really enjoy the first movie. Like we said, we don't have a shoo-in coming out of Pixar Studios there.
No. No, we don't. I think this is going to be the one that ends up taking the day for Disney.
And
in
you,
that category.
You like to babysit with this on in the background as Uncle Mike.
It's legitimately funny for adults, too. It's got all the sparkly. But if you grew up on video games, especially, you can find all sorts of little Easter eggs in Wreck-It Ralph 1. I expect more of the same here, even though they're widening. This seems to be more of an homage to Disney's past doing the internet route than it is video game paths where we started with Wreck-It Ralph as a character from there. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited that Disney's actually poking fun at themselves.
Meta jokes in the trailer.
Yeah, saying how every Disney princess needs to be saved by a man and recognizing that as a fault
Sarah
and a shortcoming.
Silverman.
Yeah, I like that. So yeah. I do think, I just have a little voice in the back of my head saying this is the one to watch out for and it's going to beat Incredibles 2. But we'll see come Oscar time.
John C. Reilly's going to be all over that award show, right? I mean,
he could be. Yeah, he very much could be without question. Yeah, I mean, he's getting a couple performances. Again, we talked about how that's probably going to cannibalize itself, so we might only get one push to the forefront.
Could be.
But yeah, could get a couple looks here.
Robin Hood, Mike, Jamie Foxx is a mentor character.
This looks so much better than I thought it would.
Right. Sam Mendelsohn is a villainous Nottingham. Taron Egerton is the Hood coming off the Kingsman series.
Yeah.
So you got guys, you know, who can really act, who can really act in action movies, who are tried and true villains. I must say the visual style of the costumes, of the fortresses, the Middle Ages, this is a slick version of it.
Steampunk Middle Age Robin Hood.
A lot of leather, clean cut leather. This is not a dirty, grungy, you know, long
hair. It's not the Kevin Costner movie.
This is a short haired. They got great barbers in Nottingham. Everybody's going to the barber.
Yeah, it's a different look. That's kind of why
fresh
I liked
cuts.
It. Because you think Robin Hood, you think you know in your mind the picture you're going to get. It's an updated version of the classic, and he's definitely towing that line between vigilante and, you know, he robs from the rich and he gives to the poor, that old Monty Python made fun of it, and I was thinking that version in my head, but I couldn't say that. Anyway, I am more excited having seen this trailer than I would have been if you just told me Jamie Foxx and Taron Egerton are doing a Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, because the Russell Crowe version with...
Russell Crowe, that's right. That's who did it as well.
With Ridley Scott just came out.
Yeah, exactly.
So we didn't need it. And then the Kevin Costner version was kind of crappy, and then they parodied it with Mel Brooks.
That
and
was
then,
funny.
Yeah, achoo.
A man in tight... Tight! Tights were
yeah,
tights.
It's fine. It's fun. And now we have another Robin Hood, but looks okay.
Looks okay.
Wide releases 11/23. Becoming Astrid is a biopic of Swedish writer Astrid Lindgren, the author of numerous children's books and creator of Pippi Longstocking.
Pippi Longstocking is coming into your world.
Is that the theme song?
Yes.
Another movie about the writing of a favorite children's book series here, Michael. Tried and true formula. We shall see.
Sure. It seems tough to kind of mess these up, but I guess it's possible, so
right.
I don't think this one will be messed up. So
I don't have a childhood attachment to a Pippi Longstocking.
Mine's very, very slight.
Okay. But your little niece, maybe, does she like her or no?
No, doesn't. I'm not aware of her at all.
And yet you remember the theme
That's from
song.
My childhood, yes. That's I'm a sick person.
You just have great recall.
Still,
you just hired this man to be your attorney.
In a basement. The favorite is next. Another huge contender. 95% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. 8.9 out of 10 average critic score. My God. Eye-popping 91 Metascore. Are we going to give Yorgos Lanthimos a Best Picture or a Best Director nom? My Lord. It's his movie starring Olivia Colman. A lot of publicity for lead actress for her performance here. Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz still duke it out for the supporting role. Neither one really has the momentum to qualify there as of yet. This is an Oscar contender in all categories, though. According to all the experts we've been citing, the recent trailer is bananas. Here's the major question. Can a Yorgos film actually be a major contender for all of these Oscars? Will the public let him take home some gold for this, Michael?
He's made one crazy movie after another. They've been controversial. They've been in your face. They've been, not what's the opposite of controversial? Combative? Or what? Confrontational.
The opposite of controversial is Wreck-It Ralph.
Correct. No, they've been confrontational, these Yorgos Lanthimos films. So we have a history, though, of directors like this breaking through. I thought of another one today. I wrote down one here. Alfred Hitchcock. For years, he was making those suspense movies that people looked down their nose upon.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And
the one you wrote down.
Rebecca, he breaks through. I mean, he's been nominated before that. Obviously, we have David Lynch with The Elephant Man getting nominated.
Sure.
So there's been a lot of these films with the new Academy last year putting something like Get Out.
Recent success.
Meta-satire made by Blumhouse that turned out to be a huge hit.
Are you making the case for The Favorite right now, or are you making the case for Widows?
I'm saying a film where a fringe Oscar director was nominated, making The Slow Climb.
Sure.
Nominated for The Lobster and Best Original Screenplay. Nominated Best Foreign Film. Now he can make the jump into more respectable territory, Michael, because guess what? It happened last year with Guillermo del Toro in The Shape of Water.
They sure did. It sure did. And that's also, again, the benefit of widening that academy. We already spoke about it. Are they really going to give Yorgos I hope so. And this one could not be better received. Everybody loves this. I had questions about Emma Stone and her accent and all this. There's nobody that has said a negative word about this, really. So it's there's something here. There's something in this formula.
Yeah, I mean, after Pan's Labyrinth, would people have thought Guillermo del Toro with the monster with the eyes for hands, you know, that's going to be an Oscar-winning filmmaker someday?
Yeah.
We didn't expect it, and it could happen.
Jordan Peele. Shoplifters is next.
Cannes Film Festival favorite and likely Best Foreign Film Oscar nominee. It's already on Feinberg's shortlist. We've already reviewed the trailer where a bunch of petty thieves adopt an abandoned and stranded young girl, potentially abused young girl stray into their little family of thieves. Mike, you are really high on this trailer,
yeah, this
too.
This is one of a couple. Best foreign film, I've been saying for a while. It seems loaded. This is one of a couple I really hope does make the cut between this, Burning, Cold War. There seems to be a handful of them out there that are really trying to establish themselves, and I think it could be a big year, much like the Pan's Labyrinth year was.
Sure.
With the lives of others, which actually took home the gold that year. I think it could be a big year for a couple foreign filmmakers.
I wonder if we'll get these just undeniably polished films like Roma and Cold War, and then
Roma,
we'll get,
Christ, I didn't even mention that. Yeah,
yeah, but then we'll get a sentimental favorite like Border, Shoplifters, and we'll just love it. And what are we gonna root for? It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be hard because like Shoplifters could be one of those movies. I've had those plenty of times before from you know.
I will say, at least as far as the foreign film category goes, I'm much more excited and much more, I have much more desire to dig into them this year than last year when we started the pod. So that might say something about me, might say something about the filmmakers.
All right, wide releases last week of November here, 11:30. The Possession of Hannah Grace is an origin story about how Santa found the reindeers up in the North Pole.
Oh, good. You got a little kids movie, huh?
No, of course not. No. Of course not. It is a story about demon possession of a young girl named Hannah Grace.
Yes.
And it's going to be a scary.
It looks... It takes place in a morgue. I watched the trailer for this. It's one of the girls from Pretty Little Liars, and it takes place in a morgue, and it's a corpse that was being an exorcist performed on it, died, but of course it's not really dead, and it needs to transfer its evil.
The corpse was killed.
Mid-exorcism, yes.
Oh, so the person was turned into a corpse.
Yes.
It was not a reanimated corpse it that becomes then killed.
No, it becomes reanimated.
Doubly reanimated. Yes. It's a re-reanimated.
Right.
No,
right.
Okay, I got you. Now.
So, hey, look, for a horror movie, I don't know why it's coming out at the end of November. Nothing to get you in the Christmas spirit, like killing your loved one at a morgue.
Hannah Grace, poor girl. Mike, limited releases.
Yeah, Anna and the Apocalypse. Mike, you love this trailer.
Love it.
Reviewed it in our last Oscar Trailers 5 episode. It's a zombie Christmas musical. How many times are you tired of seeing that movie be made? It looks funny. The songs are catchy. We're going to see this, right?
We're going to see this.
This might be our holiday review.
We may have to just review it, too. Yeah.
So. It'll be White Christmas and Anna and the Apocalypse.
Have to do it. The Favorite, followed by Anna and the right. Apocalypse. Bonus episode that week, I'm sure. Or if Beale Street Could Talk coming up. All right, anyway, Head Full of Honey. Here's the premise. A man suffering from Alzheimer's embarks on a final road trip with his granddaughter. Claire Forlani is still acting after Meet Joe Black somehow.
There's nothing about this movie on IMDb yet. Eric Roberts is listed as the lead. There's nothing about it. So
well, Eric Roberts directed that. That's right. Yeah,
pass comment on it.
He's in a Tarantino movie or two. Yeah. We'll wait and see.
Capping off here, getting to the end of Beale Street Could Talk. It's from Oscar-winning filmmaker Barry Jenkins. From Moonlight, of course, we have Stephen James, Kiki Lane, Regina King as potential nominees. All the major awards predictors with this in the running across the board here. It's another quacker for sure as Oscar ducks go. Is this an under-the-radar pick for major Oscar wins, never mind nominations, Michael?
I wonder if it's under the radar because the punditry doesn't necessarily estimate how the Academy has its favorites. And throughout the years, Stephen Daldry and Bennett Miller. And again, maybe it's an old Academy that always nominates the same people. But is Barry Jenkins going to be a favorite? Has he entered that status at this point? After Moonlight, after credence, winning it all.
After getting enough credit from one picture. It's an interesting point, it's an interesting thought. Look, it's an 88 Metascore right now. I'm just tired of the foreplay. Like, let's get these big ones out here. Let's get The Favorite and Moonlight and Green Book. Let's get them out there.
It's happening this month, baby. It's happening this month. So, well, it started last month with First Man and Stars
Born. In February with Black Panther.
Sicilian Ghost Story is a biopic about Herman Melville, author of Moby Dick.
Oh, it's about time we got around to that.
No, it's a Sicilian effing ghost story, of course, against a heavy cloak of secrecy. A 12-year-old girl smitten with her handsome classmate ventures deeper and deeper into the enchanted Sicilian forest to find him, unaware of just how thick is the mystery behind his strange disappearance. Sicilian Ghost Story is your fucking title.
It's a misleading title. It's a terrible title for what this trailer actually is. It's like a loving... It actually reminds me of the American Girl in Isle of Dogs, how she wants to get to the bottom of what actually is going on with the little kid that crashed there at the trash island. It's basically that. It's got a wonderful score against it. It's really? Like almost this romanticized fantasy picture.
So I made a joke upon an assumption.
I didn't watch
the trailer.
It's really a quite charming trailer. So I don't know why it's being marketed as a ghost story. I imagine that the probably boy in this does pass away. There's no reference to that, or inference to be made for that, but somebody has to die for it to be a ghost story, so I don't know, but yeah, don't, it's that mother thing that we had last year. Don't be fooled by a name or a marketing.
True. We'll talk about Netflix in a minute, but their last theatrical release of note, Michael.
Happy as Lazaro. We got our last film here, release of the month on screen. 89%, 7.9 out of 10 average critic score, Rotten Tomato, 82 Metascore. This is the tale of a meeting between Lazaro, a young peasant so good that he's often mistaken for simple-minded, and Tancredi, a young nobleman cursed by his imagination. Life in their isolated pastoral village in Violata is dominated by the terrible Marchesa Alfonso John Cena de Luna, I'm sorry for murdering those words, the queen of cigarettes. A loyal bond is sealed.
This whole thing,
when Tancredi, I don't know. What is
I'm making
this?
This Polish man read this Italian preface. All these wonderful, beautiful names. Beautiful, Michael. Beautiful.
Murdering your home language. I apologize deeply for this.
Been hearing about this movie for a long time. I've had it on my movie list for like the last 2 years, it seems, because I had it on last year's list. I'm excited to finally see it. The numbers are great. We'll have to wait and see. How do you like that punditry? We'll wait and see.
Beautiful job. I have nothing. Talk about some ones that come out on streaming. Netflix is up first, November 2nd, final season of House of Cards, the Robin Wright helmed House of Cards.
Okay. I'm in. I've watched the whole series.
I'm all
I've
for
done
it.
A lot of laundry while watching that series.
You've had mentioned known. That. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm forward to it. I tried to get into the original House of Cards. I just never got far enough to get to the juiciness of it.
Sure.
But I'm very hopeful that this one will do well. Robin Wright deserves much, much more credit.
So two Orson Welles properties here. We got the long lost film, The Other Side of the Wind, that we are skeptical
this
of. We don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah, no. I hope it is.
Clayton Davis liked it. So we like all Clayton. Right. The Love Me When I'm Dead, that is the documentary by Morgan Neville, 23 from Stardom, Won't You Be My Neighbor, a lot of great documentaries. He's doing a documentary about The Other Side of the Wind and Orson Welles. I'm kind of more interested in that.
Me too. Definitely strikes me as something credible and something that would be fascinating to see. I'm sure Orson Welles, his backstory has just got to be unbelievable.
A lot of food.
That speaks to...
I like the man, Orson.
Available on the 9th of November, Outlaw King, a bloody historical film of Robert the Bruce. It's William Wallace's compatriot. We've talked about this one in the past. This sucks.
I wish this was going to be good. I'm so upset
Captain
that it's not
Kirk
good.
Playing William Wallace, basically.
11/16, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
This one's getting high marks.
This is getting Oscar buzz as well. Another Western from the Coen brothers. We reviewed the trailer already. We kind of liked it. But it's an anthology of short films in a way.
So that's going to be interesting to see if that's taken seriously with any kind of Oscar credence, especially because it is streaming. And it is, if it's going to be a bunch, basically a clip show or a short film anthology like that within House Within Itself, are they really going to consider that a full feature-length motion picture?
It's got to be great for that to happen.
Yeah, so we'll see how that
one's
treated.
It's got to be connected, I think.
Also, for streaming services, just came out a couple days ago, Making a Murderer, Season 2, Netflix. I haven't started it yet, but that was a big hit, obviously. It'll be probably heard of if it's worth the time and patience. So that came out, but that's it. That's November.
That is November.
And we have covered it all. It is a huge month, and you heard all the big names, big titles that you have heard us talk about for basically a year now, all leading up. Their debuts are finally here, and we will be able to sink our teeth into them. Also, Mike told you we're going to be doing a lot of Oscar sprint profiles going forward. November, December, it's the sprint. It's the deadline. We're getting towards nominations, and that's where this all kind of leads up to. That's the finish line here. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. We are Mike, and Oscar. You can reach us, Mike, and Oscar at Gmail. Mike, and Oscar. Oh, boy, I screwed up already. Mike, and Oscar on Facebook. Mike, and Oscar on Instagram. MM and Oscar on Twitter, Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, Mike and Oscar.com, and on the Reddit machine. We're available on TuneIn, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Michael!
Jamie Lee Curtis to Mike Myers. Can you put them together via the IMD database? Can you do that?
Did you say B? Or did you just say IMD database?
I think I said it double D.
All right.
Can you do it? Faster than we can, or funnier than we can,
yes,
or however you want to take
more
it.
More creatively,
creative
rush. Unique with it. Go through TV, go through music videos.
At MM and Oscars, where we're most active.
Take us on a journey.
We'll see it the fastest if you tweet at us your 6 degrees of MMO, play the Kevin Bacon game, movie trivia game with us. Have some fun procrastinating at work on your Monday.
Yes.
And
this isn't something that's going to be like, you know, we're not looking for movie snobbery here. We're just looking for fun.
If you mention a title that we are fond of, you have a good chance. You have a very good chance. This is totally biased.
Yes, absolutely. Go through SCTV and Strange
Brew. Angus won it last
week. Yes, it sure did. It sure did. Final words of wisdom here, Michael.
That was it. I have no more wisdom. We've
all right,
like
we're out of wisdom.
5,000 movies. No, we're gonna see who's gonna win the Oscars this month.
I hope so. I hope you're right. All right, guys. We'll see you later.
See ya.